and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study here. We are in Luke chapter 4. We've been right here dealing with verses 16 through 21. The Lord Jesus Christ has come back to his hometown after the beginning of his ministry. He's going to reckon with things and the people there at home. He's grown up amongst these people, been an adult amongst these people for several years. We would say 15 years or something like that. He's 30 years old at the beginning of his ministry. He comes back to town. He's there on the Sabbath day. It's the opportunity for men to read there in the synagogue. Jesus has been doing so all of his life. And he stands up at that time. They deliver to him this book of Isaiah, the scroll that contains the 61st chapter of Isaiah. He looks up this particular passage in that scroll, and he reads what we see in verse number 18 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 20, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why? Because of the way that he read it. He read it not as a man that would read it like you and me, that it was it's given by God and it's telling about another, because it doesn't apply to us. But when Jesus read it, because it is about him, he read it with authority that was commanding and that told that this is about him. He's reading about himself. He closed the book, gives it to the minister, sits down. All everybody's looking. Their eyes are fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, verse 21 of Luke 4, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So now he makes it very clear, not bashful about it in a one bit, that he is the one anointed by God. And that the Father has given him this six-fold ministry, preaching of the gospel to the poor, the healing of the brokenhearted, number three, the preaching of deliverance to captives, number four, the recovering of sight to the blind, number five, the setting of at liberty those that are bruised, and number six, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, this is it. This is the time when the Savior has come. We want to go over to Isaiah chapter 61, which is the passage, and we want to take a look here at what our Lord Jesus didn't read at this time. He said the things that he read that day were fulfilled in their ears. We come to Isaiah chapter 61 in verse number 1, and the scripture says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so that sixfold ministry that the Lord had been given of the Father is mentioned here. Some of the wording is a little bit different. In the way that it was our English Bible has been translated from Hebrew to English and then from Greek, Aramaic to English in the New Testament. But the points are covered. And the Lord ended right here in the middle of verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 61, which is very interesting. He ended right here in the middle of a verse. Now, in his day, it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't in verse format like it is with us. But in what we have here in English, it is in the middle of the verse. And there's a reason for that. Let's read on. Verse number 2 of Isaiah 61. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the sixth part of his ministry. He says, today this is fulfilled in your ears. Here's what the Lord didn't tell at that time. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What's it say there? There's a lot of blessings here in this verse number 3. But in verse number 2, the second part of that verse, and the day of vengeance of our God. Yes, you know what? Vengeance is the Lord's, and he will repay. Right now, our Lord is being long-suffering, and he's been long-suffering since the beginning of time in this creation. He's been long-suffering since Adam sinned against God and plunged all of his children into sin. The Lord has been long-suffering. He was long-suffering so much so that he sent his Son, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, so that sinners like you and me can be saved. He's been long-suffering, but one day that long-suffering is going to come to an end. One day there will be a time of no long-suffering, but the Lord will reckon out sin. Now, why didn't Jesus read that portion and the blessing and help of those who are mourning? Why didn't Jesus read about that back in this day in Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry some 2,000 years ago? The reason he did not is because since then has not been the time for this day of vengeance of our God. It's not been time yet, but one day it will be. The point of this is are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to appear? Are you ready for the Lord to mete out and secure his vengeance? Are you ready for that? The only way that you can be ready is through repentance and faith, repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus as Savior, this one that's been anointed by God and sent his only begotten Son. He is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Atonement, the sacrifice of God. You and I need these six aspects of his life before we could ever be able to stand in the day of vengeance of God. See, the children of God are rescued. They have their sin debt paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the help of these things. They come to believe the gospel that is preached unto them. They agree with the Lord that they indeed in and of themselves are poor. They are healed by the Lord, by his salvation, and their broken heart is changed to a heart that is given by the Lord. They are delivered because they know and see that they are captive by sin. Their sight is recovered, those who are saved, and they are set at liberty, and their bruises indeed can be healed. They believe that Jesus Christ did come in that day some 2,000 years ago, and indeed that was the acceptable year. It also smacks, if you will, of that now is this accepted time. The time that the Lord brings the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Savior to you to show you your condition and to show you the Savior is the day, the accepted time that you should believe. You should believe and hear the word of the Lord. And so Lord Jesus, he takes this scroll and hands it back to the minister. He's read it with such authority because he is God, and it was written, prophesied about him. He says, today the scripture that I've read so far has been fulfilled in your ears. What he didn't read will be fulfilled, but this was fulfilled this day. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 4. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? So now the folks are faced with a dilemma. And it's really the dilemma that everybody faces with Christ until they are illuminated to see him as Savior and that. These folks grew up or were there and lived their lives right next door to Jesus. They believe that he was Joseph's son. They knew about how poor they were in Nazareth, everybody. They knew that Jesus didn't go off to Jerusalem to school with the Pharisees and Sadducees, nor likely was he educated by those there even in town. They know that he has been a carpenter for many years, and they cannot in their minds reconcile how the Lord Jesus Christ can speak so and with such authority. They say, isn't this Joseph's son? Now, we know the truth was that Jesus wasn't Joseph's son. Joseph was his stepfather, if you will. Jesus' father is God Almighty. And so they've got a quandary. They've got doubt. They went by what they saw and what they knew or thought they knew rather than what our Lord said. They didn't go by what they heard, but they went by what they saw and what they thought that they knew. And so that creates doubt. See, that's what the Lord, when he comes to us and the truth of the Lord comes to us, his word, about our sin, about our condition, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the need of salvation. We naturally have a tendency to go towards what we think we know. And that's the very thing that we do not need to do. What we need to do is we need to go by what we hear from the Lord. And that's the same quandary that these folks are in. And they have doubt. They're in a strait. They're halted between two opinions, and they have that to deal with. How about you? Do you hear from the Lord that you are a sinner, that you're guilty before God of your sins before him? Oh, yes, you may have done people wrong and dirty and sinned against people. Sure, that happens. But every sin that has been committed has been ultimately against God Almighty, even though it's committed against our fellow man. Remember that the Ten Commandments, the first four tell about our relationship with God. The last six tell us about our relationship with mankind, one another. And all of those are sins and transgressions against God. Have you heard that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the only one that can save you from your sins? Well, we pray that you have and that you will, and we point you to him, and we urge you, repent of those sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954.
by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.